Hello, everyone. I'm Mike Toledo, your host on Dent Time PDR, a podcast about PDR training, tutorials, interviews, and much more. So get something to eat, drink, and start pushing. It's time to listen. Aha, what's crack-a-lackin', everybody? I'm Mike Toledo, and I've got a couple special guests with me. One that's never been on my show. This is a special, special guest. But anyways, we're going to introduce Don Cavanaugh. Welcome back, Don. How you doing?
Hey, very well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got it, man. You got it. So who's our second guest here? Who's our surprise guest?
Well, I'm pretty excited about this guest. I think the world of this person, and she makes me laugh, and she's very contagious. When her laughter begins, it just kind of affects us all. And I just love this lady. Mary Toledo's in the house.
Thank you. Hello. Hi, Don.
Hey, Mary. Hey, Mike.
Hey. Well, all right. Well, welcome on my show, Mary Toledo. Now, be good now, okay?
You're saying be nice. Okay?
Be nice now. Why? If you haven't met my wife, she tells it like it is. The most truthful, honest woman in the world. No holds bar. So, she's got some insight. She went to MTE with us. She came later on in the week. I was already there with PDR College. But first, before we get into the topics, I want to say thank you to PDR College. I was giving me the privilege to speak at their second, seminar in a row. So thank you very much. And it went really well. And, I'm very thankful. So thank you guys to Keith and Shane for inviting me back. I appreciate that. Second of all, I would like to say thank you to Kevin Halewood once again, in collaboration with Mobile Tech Expo. I know he's not the main man there now. He stepped down. He sold it, but he is still operating that place. And it was very good seeing him. And I just want to say thank you to him and his team and everybody at Mobile Tech Expo for putting on another great show. So, which we are going to talk about. So, I got that out of the way. All right. So let's get right into it. What did you think about that show, Don? I mean, what did you take home with that, man? Because
I thought it was great, and I'd like to add something really quick before we jump in. I also want to thank Shane and Keith to give me the opportunity to speak to the PDR College. It was my first time, and I immensely enjoyed it, and I didn't realize how rewarding that would be and what that would feel like to give back. So thank you to Keith and Shane to give me that opportunity. And I just really enjoyed that. I think I'm starting something up a little bit new for myself, and I'm really, really thankful for that. And I'm amazed. And thank you to all the guys that have reached out. About half the guys that I spoke to that day have reached out to me personally, and it's really been rewarding. So thank you to Keith and Jane believing in me to speak as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I heard you did well. You did well, Don. I wasn't there. I think, what day did you speak anyways? Was it Wednesday?
I think you're at Walt Disney World.
Was I?
That was Wednesday.
Yeah. Wednesday. That's when I spoke. Mm. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So we are going to talk about here's the deal. We're going to talk about the good, the bad. I don't know so much of the ugly. I don't think it was ugly at all. We're going to talk about our experience, the kind of like a one word description. We'll go through that phase here. We'll talk about what we really liked. Mary's going to give her input on it. This is your second one?
Mary? Second one, yeah.
But you went to last year's, right? And then you mm-hmm. went this year. Okay. And then we're going to talk about, Don and I are going to talk about some of the tools we bought, what tools we are looking forward to using. I used actually a couple today. I'll give you a little bit of insight on that, since we got a little bit, got a little head start, and we'll find our conclusions on this. So, anyways, let's begin. Okay. Now, here's the deal. I talked to Jason Huddleston. Jason's, I trained Jason last year. He didn't go to the last expo last year. He went to this year, and he just flat out had a great time because he's never been to before. So he had nothing to compare it to. And listen, I'm not saying it. I'm not implying that this is a bad show at all. I'll tell you what, it wasn't my favorite one, but it wasn't a bad show at all. I think it was great. I think it was a little overwhelming, but to the new guys, I'm not taking anything away from you. You guys got to, if you're new and you're still planning to come to Mobile Tech Expo, don't let our opinions to like, oh, they said it's not that good, so I'm not going to go. No, you will have a great time. We're just right now, this podcast is going to be, see if we can help. Maybe they'll listen to us. Maybe they won't. This is also for tool manufacturers too. Hopefully you're listening to this and just don't take anything personal. Hopefully you take it something that maybe that will help you out and give you some ideas on maybe how you can improve sales. So Don, one word. Actually, let's kick it off. Mary, give me one word what you thought about the show. What, and we're going to go do a couple rounds until we can't do it anymore. One round, I mean, one word, not a bunch of sentences. Give me a word.
I think it was like...
No, one word.
A little organized. How's that? Organized.
You think it's organized?
I think it's organized in a way that all the tool companies are all in one area. They're not spread out.
Okay, that's it. That's it. I'll get you. We'll get to that. We'll get to that full-on opinion. Don?
I thought, talking about the venue here, I thought it was a little spread out.
So you thought it was, yeah, it was, you mean like, we'll get to that.
That's totally opposite than what I said, okay. Right?
No, okay. You said it's organized.
Uh-huh, and
he just says it's spread out.
Oh, so spread out, okay.
Like it was more room than they needed. Is that what you think? Is that or not?
I just didn't. It didn't feel as intimate as I would have liked.
Okay.
Intimate's right. Probably the word.
All right. Let's see. I would say fun. It was fun. It's always fun. So
always.
It's always fun. Your turn. One more. Go and keep going. Give me another one. Mary. Toledo.
For me, I would say I would
damn,
pick
her
fun.
Her voice sounds sexier than mine now.
Okay, shush. You do not say that. But anyways, I think it's fun too.
You're trying to like steal my thunder here.
No. I'm not stealing your thunder. I had a lot of fun with the girls.
Okay.
That's what it is.
You were fun. Okay. You did. You and Gabby. Gabby, I think, had more fun than all of us. So, Don?
I think camaraderie was a plus.
I had that too. I had that down too. Yep.
Just amazing. I love seeing all my dent brothers. You know, the camaraderie is amazing.
Good deal. Yep. We're going to elaborate on all this stuff anyways in a summary too. And I felt it felt different. So, yeah, one more. I think it's one of our last ones.
Oh, we're doing a third?
A couple, yeah.
Okay.
As much as we can. Go ahead.
For me, I would say... Let's go to Don for now. This is a Jeopardy.
Which is it? I have, you know, I want to say sentences like you too, Mary.
So I know it's so hard, right?
One word. Respect.
Respect. Okay, we'll come to we'll come to our. Like,
we'll elaborate.
Yeah, we'll elaborate why you said that.
Yep.
I've got two more for me, so I'm going to say frustrating. Mary, go ahead.
Inconvenience, I guess.
Okay, inconvenient. Yeah, I think I had something there down. Okay, yeah, I had that down too. One of those. Okay, go ahead, Don. Are we stealing all your stuff, Don?
It's all good. The inconvenience I have to agree with.
We will talk about these.
We will. I am going to say.
What about a positive one? You have anything positive?
It is. Oh yeah, positive for sure. I want to say friends.
friends, making new friends, something like that. Like
making new friends, meeting new people. Yep.
Okay, that's good. And my last one is reviving. Reviving. So.
For me.
Are you done?
I would say improvement.
Improved or not improved?
Not improved. Well, no, they could use improvement.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. All right. All right. So that's it. I think we're good here. So we had a lot of one-worders here, okay, that kind of described Mobile Tech Expo. I would say it's straight down the middle. It's 50-50, you know? If you've been to a lot of them, like Dawn and I, and Mary's been to a couple. Okay, Mary, you've been to two. Which one was funner, last year or this year?
I think for me, the venue.
No, just your overall. Oh. Did you have a better experience this year or last year?
Well, this year. Okay. You know why?
Why?
Because there's more women there. Uh-huh. That's like, you know, when we get together after MTE, the actual, you know.
Camaraderie. You like the camaraderie.
Yeah, but then I also talk to a lot of guys, you know, met new ones and talk to ones that I already know.
So you had fun and you got the network and talk and hang out and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
What it's for. Okay. Uh-huh. All right, cool. And Don, compared to last year, what did you think?
I will have a good time with All My Dent Brothers anywhere, yeah. But I think last year felt a little bit more, you know, it just was, it was easier to get the things. It was just, it felt better. Felt like more of a tighter knit community.
Yeah, because it was closer. Everything was in one spot, yes. Right? You didn't have to go, it was walking distance everywhere.
Well, you walk from your hotel room to the, you know, the venue last year, but this year it's like the driving, just getting there.
Yeah, that's the part. Exactly. Yeah. That's the part where we go is kind of convenient because first of all, it's inconvenient from the start. If you were in the back of if you had a hotel in the back, a room way in the back, because it took a good 10, 15 minutes if you're in the back to walk just to the lobby. But they did have carts, but inconvenient wise, you had to call a golf cart to get a ride there. And then from there to the lobby, you'd have to either wait for a shuttle, call an Uber, then go to your venue. And then from there, if you didn't know that place, you had to walk a half a mile. I'm not lying. You had to walk a half a mile.
A lot of walking.
From the convention, Orange County Convention Show inside there just to get to where you were going here.
Not only that, they charge for parking, which is $17.
Yeah, if you do the math, it's cheaper to do the Uber back and forth than it would be to pay for parking. Because if you pay for parking, you go to lunch, you have to pay another $17 when you come back in. So that was probably the most inconvenient part of that. Okay. So, but I did hear, and Don, I don't know if you knew this, but I did hear they did try to get us across the street at Hyatt, but they didn't have enough rooms.
Okay.
They didn't have something else that it could accommodate that many people at that time. And there was one other kind of major thing too as well. I forgot what it was.
Okay. Well, that would have been good. I think the one thing that irritated you and I was that damn Uber deal. I mean, we call up three Ubers in a row there? We stood there for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And we kept
30 minutes?
Well, they can't find, remember when you picked us up? Remember how hard it was for you to pick me up?
Yeah.
The Uber people couldn't find it.
Well, luckily, I'm like a good driver. Luckily, I found you.
Luckily, you are.
The Asian driver, right?
Oh, my gosh.
We had to cancel twice. Like three in a row. Yeah. And the third guy ended up charging us.
What?
Not the third guy, the second guy. Well, the third one was a go. You're right, Mike. So the third one did work. But the first two, we had to cancel because they couldn't find us. And then the second one, I had to cancel. It says, you've been charged $5. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Like it's our fault,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That they can't find us, you know. So.
So okay. So we are.
Well, I'm glad I didn't have Uber, because that would have frustrated me.
We've touched on that. Yeah, it was frustrating.
Well, I mean, what could they have improved on? We've kind of already touched base, and we already kind of talked about. But we, you know, some of the things I had down was a closer hotel, and I still would like to see a closer hotel. I don't think we're going to see a different venue for at least another year or two, or at least 2 years from now, because They've already signed the contract for another one. So
they did?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a done deal. They're back in Orange County, or the Orange thing. So
Orange
it's, I think what's going to happen is that I personally probably won't stay at that Host Hotel again, that one.
No.
I probably will, you know, I know Mary because she will.
No, I don't like that hotel. You know why?
No, tell us how you really feel, Mary.
Well, see, the thing is that it's so frustrating. The thing with me is that, you know, as soon as I walked in that room, it was a single room, right? In beginning, it was like a building 80. I think that's where Don was. And my
was a 90.
Oh, yours is 90. For one thing, Mike was in what, the 1900s? So we were so far from each other. Then not only that, when I walked in, it was like dirty. That's the first thing I saw. And I was like, what? They didn't even clean. All they did, I think what they did is they just changed the trash bags in the trash can.
I think there's a lot of mixed reviews because our room was fine. But some people said they had bed bugs. Some people said they saw cockroaches. One guy pulled the freaking shower head out of the freaking thing.
Yeah.
And the water was all messed up. Anyways.
So it's like hit and miss.
But you know what? You're going to have those things. You know, how many rooms were there? There was like 2,000 rooms, I think, there at that
2,000 rooms, he said. Yeah.
You're going to hear some of that.
Yeah. It was a bummer because, Mary, I was by you, and I know you're bouncing around. But, you know, Mike and I are hanging out every day. So I'm like at 90. He's at 1,900. Mm-hmm. And it was like a marathon to get over there and back.
Did you walk all the time to get to Mike's building?
Well, what irritated me the most is I had a little bench outside and it said shuttle, you know, so, and they're in these little blue golf carts supposed to pick you up. I did that a few days and they just would go by you like, and they'd have like one person on. I'd be like, it says right here, I'm sitting in the spot, you know, and I remember yelling at one guy and he like turned around and he puts his arms up, but he just still goes by me like 90 minutes an hour. Like, well,
he didn't even stop for you.
Didn't even stop.
Oh, no.
Didn't even stop. Unbelievable.
I would have said something.
So I did do a lot of walking and jogging and all sorts of stuff. So
You know what I did is that I had to downgrade because I wanted to be in the same building as Mike. I didn't want to commute or walk that far. So what ended up doing is that I told them that I wanted to be in the 1900 building. Obviously, it's from one bedroom to junior suite. It's a downgrade, but I didn't mind. Because it was just Gabby and I anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I'm just go down a list, Don. I don't know if you wrote down a list, but...
I did, okay. But go ahead.
I think that they could have improved on. That's just some of the things. And some of these we will see. Some of these we won't. I don't know. You know, maybe we won't see any of them. But I know we won't see a closer... We won't see, excuse me, a smaller venue. That's just going to be... That's going to be it there. I think they learned their lessons, I think, as far as the organization, because there was a little bit of schedule miss things. They had an app going, but some of the, like Standliner, I didn't know where it was going to be. I was supposed to be there along with you, and it wasn't on the app in the morning. You know what I mean? So I assumed they weren't going to be there that day, and then Thomas was telling me it was. I think PDR Profit missed, like a lot of people missed their seminar because it wasn't on it. So it was... organized, but it wasn't on, especially for the classes.
Other things. The seminars, the you mean?
Room. Yeah.
Yeah. The wrong rooms were listed. Like Mr. Reeb, Jeff Reeb had a deal, and I ran him at the bar, and I said, "How did your investment PDR investment thing go?" And he goes, "Well, it was the wrong room, and I had it. I did really well though. There was two whole people there. You know, poor guy.
Oh,
you know, I mean, he put so much into it. He's such a good person." And I just felt really bad.
Yeah, Paul is going to come on the show next, I think either next Monday or Tuesday. And so we're going to have him on next week. And then he's going to, for those who didn't get to attend, maybe they want to know more about it. Paul's going to be on here, Paul Corden, and he will explain what his new program is all about. So look forward to talking to him. As far as, like I mentioned, going back to things that they can improve on, a closer hotel, love to see that. I don't know if that's going to still be possible, especially with the explanations that they gave us this year. Smaller venue, that's not going to happen. Because the reason why we like a smaller venue is because it feels more intimate. It feels Like, yes. It's closer to everybody, you know? That's why I think in Vegas, let's get on there. I think Vegas is actually going to work well. That's just my opinion, because Mary knows that venue really well, because we have a timeshare together there. We vacation there once or twice a year, right next to the South Point.
Across the street, yeah. Yep,
and everything is right there, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Inside that South Point. Anything, you can bring your kids there. There's Steak and Shake. There's movie theaters. There's play games. There's a steak place there. There's multiple different nice bars inside of it. It's kind of like...
Are they open past 10, 11 o'clock, Mike?
Oh, just a little.
What?
Just a little. And that brings me up another subject. You're right. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's like, come on.
They needed faster shuttles, and they needed designated bar and areas to gather past 11 and 12 after hours. I mean... Absolutely. This, I think this place was a great venue, but it was not set up for our kind of people. It's a family-oriented timeshare place that mixed with a bunch of wild dudes, PDR techs, that are just drinking fast whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, now, what were yours? You said you had some things. What do you think they could have improved on, Don?
Well, you kind of touched bases on it. The tough part was with one or two bartenders and, you know, 300 thirsty guys.
I remember that.
It was so hard to, you know, it was a half hour to get a beer.
Yeah.
And then by the time that's over with, everybody's out at the same time. So it was like I was at the Standliner booth when they opened up that first day. You know, I mean, I was only three deep and I stood there for, you know, about 45 minutes and I didn't get my Pelican. Damn it. But anyway, it's another story.
It's altogether. A lot of waiting. Remember, I told you I feel like I want to jump in the bar and start serving, because I'm like, I could probably do this faster.
Yeah. I think if they just had three or four more bartenders and maybe a few more girls, they could probably do that. But Mike's right. It's got to be later. It's got to be open till 1 or 2 in the morning for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they probably didn't anticipate that, hey, the PDR industry is going to be, guys.
I tried to warn them since the day I came in there on Sunday night.
They should have been warned before we got there.
We did. You know. I mean, Don and I tried to warn them.
We did. We talked to the manager that first night, Mike and I. We were like, hey, this is okay tonight, but we got
a few days.
So we were there earlier.
Well, whoever negotiated the rooms there should have told them, look, this is what we need. We need a place where it's going to open or stay open until probably 1 or 2. Because that's what I did when we did Mega Media, you know, in Texas. I was like looking for a place where the bar is going to open late and it can accommodate a bunch of people that's going to be drinking.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I don't know. I don't know if I know Kevin Hailwood. He pays attention to some of the stuff. I don't know if he listens to this podcast, but hopefully, you know, they listen to something. They want feedback if they want to improve it. Listen, I this is just a request, and I'm not bashing on MTE. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying what the experience of what we had, what we saw, and what a majority of people felt. But if you're a new tech or a new arrival at this thing, you probably had a great time, I mean, regardless, because you had nothing to compare it to. But except for the bar experience, I think you probably felt the pain on that when you were getting drinks. So,
or food.
Yeah, or food. What else? Is there anything else that you had your two cents on that, Don?
You know, it was just hard. I guess the bar thing was the most frustrating. But again, on a positive note, I could be out. Dave Streen said something a few days ago. I thought it was great. So I could be out in a field in the middle of nowhere, and if I had all you guys around me, I'm going to have a fun time.
Yeah.
You know, it just wasn't what we were used to in the accommodations. We've been spoiled in the past.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. This is why this is so a shock to us. If you were a first-time tech coming in, and I hope you guys are all coming and thinking about coming next year, you're so welcome. We love, you know, all the new guys getting into this field. We all believe in this industry so much, and you have nothing to compare it to. So it was probably the most awesome experience of your life to get all these guys together. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I still have a lot of fun, though. I mean, it's just like maybe like what Mike said, that if someone's taking notes, then if you improved it, then it's going to be even better. But like,
right.
I mean, even though as much as we were frustrated with the bar, what I could say about it is that I still had a lot of fun because, you know, after what, a drink or two, you're like feeling good anyway. To a point that I'm like, I need chicken wings, Don. And Don said, don't worry, I'll get you chicken wings, because if I don't, I'm going to start spinning.
Yeah.
You took care of her. Well, she didn't throw up, Don. So thank you.
I did. I took care of her. You know what was funny, Mike, was Mike's got this drink that he turned me on to. And the first night I didn't even want one. And then I fell in love with it. And it was really good. And it was, place was packed. It was like the third night. And I finally got her attention when I ordered the wings for you, Mary. And I said, I need 7 painkillers. And you should have seen her face, because she has to make these things.
She's,
you
looking
know?
At you. I should have been there.
You were. You were standing right next to me.
Maybe I wasn't paying attention. Okay.
But you weren't. You weren't. But I looked at her and she looked at me like, and I said, hey, there's a huge tip in it for you. You know, I gave her like $20.
Wow.
Because it was so funny, because she looked behind herself into the bar. We were on the outside and she saw there were 15 deep. And she looked at me like she was going to kill me. Like, you just don't want a beer? Are you sure?
Is it hard to make those painkillers?
Well, it's a lot of ingredients in it. So
a lot of stuff. A lot of
that's
stuff.
That's what I'm saying. You know,
yeah, actually, Daniel Grom turned me on to that painkiller when we first were going to Florida, and then he's like, "Have you had a painkiller?" He likes anything rum. So I mean, right. He goes, "I heard they make the best painkiller." So we found Bahama Breeze together, and he asked for a painkiller, and dude, we were hooked, man. We just, and they don't make them anywhere else just as good as they do there. You know, it's something to do with the way they make them. It's just, they taste great in Florida.
Didn't we hit the first one? We had fun. We ate, we drank, and then we left, and we came back that exact same one, and then we went home. Yeah. And then that night we went to it too.
Bahama Breeze,
and a different one.
I swear to God, out of all the times we've been there, I must have been there at least 52 times, dude. So
they make it strong, though. I told him, it was so strong.
Because I said, put some love in this. That's what I said.
Oh, is that
make sure you put some extra love in it. So
that's exactly
what. So if you're ever in Florida, or if you go to MTE next year, make sure you hit me up and we'll go to the bar and we'll get a freaking painkiller. But we got Bahama Breeze. That's where you really want to experience the best, okay? And you tell the waitress, I heard all about your painkillers here. I want you to make me the best one and put some extra love in it. And it's nice. It's a really nice drink.
So your drink is painkiller, but then what happened to the Irish Mule?
Well, when in Florida, I can make an Irish Mule at home just as good as anyone else can. So, but painkiller, I don't know how to make that as good as they do.
The Irish Mule there is good at the bar.
Okay, so moving on. All right, things I liked about MTE 2019. So we'll each have a bunch of stuff. So Mary, why don't you kick it off? What did you like about MTE besides the bar? We know you like the bar. Okay. Well, what else did you like?
Are you talking about the venue or the after?
It could
be
anything. What did you like?
Meeting new people.
That's good. Okay.
You know.
Cool. I think that's
male
why.
Male and female.
I think that's why people come to it, is to meet new people. I mean, that's one of the top things to do is come there and meet new people. Don?
I got to know.
Oh, sorry.
Carrie. And Carrie, you know, and Gabby.
Oh, you mean James Lee's wife?
Yeah.
Carrie Bear?
Care Bear, yeah. Yeah, she's so down to earth.
She is cool.
I love her, yeah.
Yeah, she's way cool.
And then I met a new gal. Her name is Grace. Her husband is Derek Kessler, I guess.
Kessler, yeah, Kessler.
He looks like Kessler. Wolverine, and that's what I, you know, and Grace, she's so pretty. She's actually a cop, so you don't want to mess with her.
I don't remember them.
You probably haven't. I don't know, Don, have you met her? She's kind of like the blonde highlights. With the glasses?
I think I saw her in the front picture when we took that big picture in the bar, and I didn't know who she was because I recognized Derek. I didn't get a chance to talk with Derek, but we are friends on Facebook and stuff.
So. Oh, cool. Uh-huh. Cool.
She was, Thursday or Friday night? She was, we were sitting right where the fire, the outside patio. Everyone was there. You guys missed it, huh? Couple of security came up to us and said, hey, you guys can't sit down there. We're like, what?
Oh, yes. Security's real strict.
Were you? And then I made a joke. I said, oh, they sent two security guys. Do you see how many dudes are here? That's bigger than those security guys. He smiled at me and he said, I know. I'm just doing my job. I said, I know.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know.
All right, Don, what did you like?
I honestly had a blast at the Drunken Tool review. I rewatched that today, and I didn't realize how much fun I had. Oh my gosh, that was so much fun. So much
fun. Yeah, that's all. That's a tradition now. We've had that, I think that was 5 years, 5 or 6 years. I mean, I think we were correct on 50 year. We just need to get a venue straight for that, dude. It's like I would love to get everybody in there just involved. I try to get people who come there. We had, Christopher Ray and his team there. It was cool dudes. But we had tried to get people in there. We even tried to get tool vendors that come, you know, edgy, Dave Streen, man, he was having a blast, dude. So
he was.
It was good. You're right. That was a good one. So, what did I like? What did I think? I'm just going to go down the list here. It's fun, 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 fun. Okay. Like you said, the camaraderie, Mary, meeting new people, which I didn't have on my list, which I should have. That's definitely the gathering, networking. I guess that is kind of that. And it had more room. Okay. It did have more room. I didn't feel claustrophobic when they opened the doors. I felt like people did have some room to kind of walk around. If you want to, you know, you found somebody in the aisle that you could actually stop and talk to without getting bumped like crazy everywhere.
What about the food?
And I see
the vendor.
Yeah, you know what?
Like in the back was like not bad.
You're right. We talked about that on PDR Tool Time the other day, which was on today.
Uh-huh.
And we did talk about that. The food was actually pretty good.
It was pretty good. I had the Mexican.
Yeah, and somebody said they had a rice bowl.
That's what I had. Rice bowl.
I had
fantastic.
Somebody
said the rice bowl was awesome.
Oh yeah, that one was good. Me and Gabby ate that one.
I had the barbecue rice bowl. It's phenomenal.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Well, that was something I overlooked, and you guys nailed it. And I felt there was more and more unity though this year. I mean, like people were more on base. What I mean by that, they're all more on the same page. I think more people were going in the same direction. In a positive direction than people were in going backwards. You know, they cared about the industry. They want to improve their pricing. They want to improve the way they look. They want to, you know, you see a lot more guys promoting themselves more now. There's just a lot of good things happening. And look, your neighbor's promoting himself really good. That's not hurting you. That technically is helping you if you look at it that way. Because not every person who sees them advertising or are trying to push themselves in the industry in a positive way, they're not going to capture every customer. They're just going to be felt by that presence, and it's going to build more awareness. That's how I think about that, and that's what I felt about this. And this is more positive than anything that I could say negative about the Mobile Tech Expo.
Are you talking about the friendly competition?
Yeah, friendly. You know, like there was like three or four guys there that were from San Diego that were there. You know what I mean? And actually, Matt, really? Matt Armello, was there. He sells Get a Grip,
uh-huh.
And he's there. And dude, I'm good friends with him. You know him. You've seen him uh-huh. before. He's one of the nicest guys in the world, and we have great respect for each other. You know, we're not trying to cutthroat each other. We want to be on the same page. So, and I think that's what helps about with Mobile Tech Expo too.
I'm glad you pointed that out, Mike, because honestly, I remember last year getting out of PDR college and walking into the venue, and I think it was Shane or Keith that said, "Now you guys, all us 100 people that are here today are very, you know, good people, blah, 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 blah." And not that if everybody isn't as a whole, but it was interesting. It was different. I didn't see that this year. It was great. And what I mean by I come full circle is I walked out there and there was a little bit of a line at the Standliner tool, and it's just like there was this year. And I walked over and I waited my turn, and Thomas handed me the pirate hook for the very first time. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And this big freaking guy comes over my shoulder and rips it out of my hand. and I'm like, well, what the hell? And the guy would have, you know, pounded me into the ground. I mean, he, you know, he's a big dude. And I just shut up. And little Thomas says, "Sir, let me have the tool back, please." And he handed it back to Thomas over my shoulder again. And then Thomas handed it back to me, and we continued our talk. But I didn't see any of the pushing or shoving this time. I felt more respect. I didn't even think about that until you guys just said this. Mike, you're spot on. I think there was more camaraderie, and I believe that it just felt better. I didn't feel any pushing or shoving or I'm better than you this year, and I didn't even think about that until right now.
No, I didn't. I didn't get that either. I mean, of course, I don't put myself in those positions to and are those type of people anymore, shall I say? But like anyone should say. But anything else that you want to add to that, Don? Are you good on that? So we move on, or are you good?
No. I'm good on that. I just really felt everybody was very respectful towards one another.
Cool.
You know what I would like to see though, compared to last year, is like more, you know, than people there. Because I think, you know, even though what was the, what do you think is like?
The attendance?
Yeah.
Well, they said the attendance was about the same.
Well, but there's more detailers though.
I don't know. I think if you want to get on that subject, since you're on that subject, Mary, it did look like there was more other vendors compared to PDR vendors, if that's what you're saying. Now, we're going to get to this, that subject too as well. But since we're on it, my take on that is because I think a lot of the PDR companies, a lot of them are individuals now, okay? The only major ones that were there, let's just face it. Let me back this up. Do you know A1 Tools has like only been there, I think this is their second or third year coming?
Yeah, that's about right.
Dentgear is gone. They used to be there all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why are they not there?
Hold on a second.
Okay. Here.
And then there's Ultra. Ultra hasn't been there in 2 years, technically. Now, they were shared a tiny bit of a booth with Elimident, okay? But it felt like it was all Elimident. You know what I mean? It didn't look like really like an Ultra booth, okay? And then Anson is their second year. Now, can you imagine if Anson didn't show up, A1 didn't show up, all you had was Elimident, Carl Stuckey, PDR, Pro PDR Solutions on the other side. You had PDR Finesse that was there, but it seems like either people are dropping out or they're consolidating. What I mean, you know, they're kind of like, if Anson wasn't Anson where they are and if they weren't the kind of tool distributor people who they were, then... And I'm not saying that's bad because Anson is awesome, awesome thing. But a lot of people are able to sell their tools through their booth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like if you looked at all the individuals, you would have like Endeavor Tools would probably have their own booth. You know what I mean? Who else would have? There's multiple tool companies, smaller micro tool companies that were in Anson's booth.
So you're saying they consolidated, like collaborated together. So
I don't think there wasn't enough PDR tool companies. It's just they consolidated themselves and it made it look like it was smaller, you know, like a smaller PDR event and more detail.
In such a big room,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
room. It made it look smaller. Yeah.
And Kiko was kind of hidden way up front. And then Pro PDR Solutions on the far left side. I didn't see them until maybe the second day. I didn't even know they were there.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
I didn't either.
So let's get into suggestions for the tool companies. Okay. So this is, and believe me, and I said this on the other podcast, I know it's hard to be a PDR tool company. I know it is. It's, you know, you try to release a tool, somebody copies it, you know, or comes something close to it. There's a lot of stress, things like that. But here's some suggestions for the tool companies when you're there, okay? When you're at the show, number one objective is what I see is you need to connect with your customers at the show, okay? It's not always about business, you know? You're not always trying to make that sale. You've got to make the connection so they'll keep buying from you and want to buy with you. I saw a little bit of just a little bit of straight business in this thing that's from some vendors, you know, they're really tight. You know what I mean? They didn't let any slack on certain things. Here's another thing. Talk to some tool manufacturer. How'd it go? Oh, it was slow. You know, we didn't sell much or, you know, yada, yada. Why not build an exclusive tool for MTE? You know what I mean? Like, you have a tool. Like, you know what's great about Stanliner is that, number one, they have unique tools. And they kept saying over and over again, we're only going to have exclusive tools for the show. We're not going to make them again. So what did it create? A frenzy, right?
It did.
Created a giant frenzy. Because everybody wanted to get that tool because they knew they weren't going to get that tool again. Or it was going to be very rare or when they did release it again. So what happened? They sold every single one of their exclusive tools at Mobile Tech Expo.
They sold out?
They sold out. Every major tool that they had. Now, I'm not saying they completely sold out every tool. I'm just saying every tool that they were promoting, every tool that I mentioned that I said you better get, like the killer whale tail, the pirate hook, the raised snake, you know, those stuff like that, they sold out really good.
He knows how to sail.
The pelican tool, gonzo, dude. You know, the sword tool, gonzo. So I'm just saying you got to create a little bit of anticipation. And a good point now on the other note, the good point of what that the guys on PDR Tool Time said, well, Mike, you know, you got to understand too, is that these manufacturers are always fighting with the other manufacturer who's building their tool, you know, the CNC people or maybe the China people that they get the mold from, that they're not always going to be on time. So there is some leeway on that. But, you know, I think personally you should be thinking about building an exclusive tool right now for next year and to upsells, because you've got two type of sales, right? You got the Black Friday sales, Don, right? And then you got MTE sales. Technically now, Don, really, and Mary, you got to think about three sales, right, throughout the year. Three types of tools. Because you got Las Vegas, you got Black Friday, and then you got MTE again in Orlando. So there's a lot of work out there, and I understand. But either you have a smashing good price to draw those customers in, and I know it's hard. I'm just saying there's a few suggestions. Maybe if I was a tool manufacturer, I'd find a way to create some exciting, good, exclusive tool, to promote that.
So everyone can be exciting, excited about it.
So you can start, so you can build your tool sales up. You know what I mean? Yep. People aren't going to, you're not going to sell a lot of tools if you don't have new tools, especially if you've had the same 9 months out of that year. And people have already had a chance and they've already bought your tool during Christmas time or Black Friday. And you don't have anything new between that. You probably won't do as well as you expected. That's just my take on that. Now, Anson, what they did, they gave 25% off any tool that they make that's in their line. So you got 25% off of their tequila tools, right? You got 25% off of their glues, their tabs, anything. So that caused a frenzy for them. They did, I think, pretty well. They were always busy.
Giving away discounts is like always attracts customers.
That's right. It does. And for some tool manufacturers, they don't believe in the discounts, which I totally get. And some of them are already cheap as it is. So it is. And I know A1, they had some Stanliner lines over there and they did really well. And then they had this tool called the Lucky 7, which we'll talk about in a little bit. So that was a very interesting tool.
I think part of it, Mike, is like when you're selling something, you really need to put women out there to be talking to customers, because women are more talkative and they're more kind of inviting as far as...
Well, they did. It's called Maria at A1 Tools, and uh-huh. She technically, I think within the last 2 or 3 years, she turned that company around because they were really quiet before.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying, because, you know, I mean, when I'm like, you know, just think about it. If you're a customer, you want to go and buy something. You want to be talking to someone that's inviting and, you know, you feel like comfortable and nice.
Yeah, no, it works. It's good. And she's really good at it. And at first, she was a little new at it, shall I say, green, but she's doing really well, and she has really helped her company by her putting a face on front of it, which I teach in marketing. You got to put your face on it, and she has, And she has helped turn that company around, just like Christine.
Christina. Any companies, yeah.
Christina at Anson. I mean, if you think about it now, look, the women are actually turning these companies around. So that kind of tells you something right there.
Well, that's what it is. That's what I was telling Steve. I said, hey, where is Nikki? Because when I deal with, UltraDan Tools, I talk to Nikki, and she is just a nicest, inviting person to hang out with or to talk to.
Yeah.
And she can actually upsell.
Yeah, she's a really nice lady too, you're right.
Nikki. And she's very organized. Mm-hmm. Like me, I'm an organized
You most
person.
Likely speak to Nikki if you are calling UltraDan Tools and putting in a big order. She's usually the one that's dealing with you.
Yeah.
So, and here's another thing too, what that seemed like, did you guys know CarePoint took like 10 booths?
Yes.
They're like crazy. 10 booths. If they, let's say they weren't, they're new too, like the last 3 years. CarePoint, A1 Tools, Anson, let's just say those guys weren't there. It'd probably feel pretty bare. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Well, it's going to be boring probably.
Yeah, but CarePoint came out. They had some really good tools, which we're going to talk about in just a second right now. So that's my take on, new sales, but also, here's another thing too. Something for the tool manufacturers. If you have a tool and you really want to promote it, and I'm not talking about myself, I'm not talking about PDR Tool Time, I'm not talking about Don Kavanaugh, but you really need to get the tool in the PDR tool industry influencers. Don't be greedy. That's the best advertising you're going to get. You cannot. If you try to do a commercial to shoot the product or try to have a video promoted for it and pay for it, it's going to be so expensive. But if you give it to people who are influencers and let them try it, they're most likely going to talk very good about the tool because, number one, it was given to them. And if they're like me and if it's not very good, then I will send it back to you and let you know. I'm not going to talk trash about it. I'll let you know it's not ready for market. I'm not saying send me tools. Okay. That's not what I'm saying. All right.
Hold on. Don't send Mike tools. Send Mike money. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I always said because every week we used to get something on the front door. What did I tell you, Dad?
I know. Tell them to stop sending you tools. Send you money. So.
Yeah. This is like for the past
years? It's smart. I mean, the early adopters, James Lee handed me that light, dude, right? He handed me the light first time. He said, Mike, I want you to use it. I want you to do it. Tell me what you think. And I did a video on it. All right. And that's the best type of advertising you can get. And there's a lot of other guys out there that are doing great videos now and get it in their hands. Get it in my hands. Get it in Don's hands. Get it in PDR Tool Time's hands. Get it out there. That's my advice for you. Pay attention. Don't be so stingy about going, oh man, I have to give away $1,000 worth of tools. How much would it cost you to do a professional video, one video, and going on one channel, and it may or may not be seen a lot?
It's probably $50,000. Market.
If you give it to, let's just say you give it to 10 influencers out there, right? They create 10 different videos and it's on, all of a sudden it's on 10 different groups at 100 different, in 10 different ways. That's like 1,000 times stronger than you would anything else.
Well, what it is, the way I see it, is free marketing. You're basically getting your free advertising out there.
That's how you do it. I just gave people a secret, the tool company's secret. That's how you do it. Okay. If you want to promote a product, you get it in as many PDR influencers as you can, and you friggin' just roll with it.
Well, I don't know if you noticed. Those movie stars that goes to Oscars and the clothes that they wear? Those are free clothes that they send to movie stars.
Yeah.
Why? Because they get, a buzz about it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, it worked. It works, you guys, because... it works for anybody, camera companies. You see all those TV, those YouTube influencers, they get all that stuff for free.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they talk good about it. So anyways, let's see here. What was on my other list? Did you have something to add to that, Don? I don't want to be taking the whole thing. I'm sorry, dude.
No. You're doing great. I was thinking as you were talking, I was thinking about a little bit about that such a great angle. for tool guys. Like John Vadine's a buddy of mine, local Minnesota boy, and he came to me with, you know, his first prototype of this Den Reaper tool and said, "Will you want to R&D this thing? Will you check it out?" And I loved it from the beginning, and I started telling people, and pretty soon now he's got three of them, and he's doing great with it, and he's, you know, it's I had to use it. I don't know that I would have went and bought it, but now after using it and knowing how great it is and how strong of a tool is, I've probably sold 100 of them.
You know, yep.
Just because they're I love them. I use them every day.
Just think of like, because John's a small individual tool manufacturer, or tool guy, right? He's not a manufacturer. A1 Tool actually manufactures.
A1 does it.
Yeah. But just think if he didn't give it in people's hands and he just had it on there, nobody would know how good that tool was, dude. You know what I mean?
Same thing with Endeavor. Chad is so smart. He reached out to me a year and a half ago and says, "Hey, I'm going to send you some tools." I didn't even know who Chad was.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I've got his first hanger, and next thing I know I've got, you know, this, you know, so it's amazing. I just love all this stuff, and I was like, "Oh, I took it out of the box." I'm like, "Oh my God, this is the best door hanger I've ever seen in my life." And so it works. It just really does. Because I don't think I would have known of him, and to go buy that tool or even go look at it at anywhere. So then you see it and you do a couple of videos for the guy, and it helps. And talk about a really nice guy. That Chad for Endeavor. Now we're going off subject here.
No, we're going to go back on that in just a second. So I'm just going to finish my thoughts on that.
Yeah, please.
The other thing the tool manufacturers need to do is improve customer service experience. Okay. I'm just going to call it out. Thomas really needed, he came unprepared about how the tool sales were going to be. I knew he knew it was going to be busy, but he should have had at least two to three more people running cards for him. He shouldn't be running it. He should have somebody, a few people he trusts to have him run the sales, have it organized. I'm sure he's going to learn his lesson by next year, but you know, one person at a time. I think the average wait, if you wanted tools, was an hour.
Really?
Yes, it was an hour.
I was there. I was there for an hour.
So
you don't want to.
And that's not just for that person. It's for any tool manufacturer. Like, so you got to be prepared. You know, if you know you're going to have an exclusive tool, or you're going to have a giant discount, you better be ready. Or if you're the only person manning your booth and you're trying to like do demonstrations, you got to have somebody else who knows how to do the same demonstrations as you. So you can lock those people in. So a lot of people will say, "Oh, he's too busy, I'll come back." And sometimes they don't. Like 25% of them or more don't come back, you know? And so you're losing those sales.
Well, you have to have enough manpower, you know, because like, you know, that traffic's going to be that much.
Yeah. And
they just needed a longer booth, you know, and then they could have like sectioned it, like sure, Kaz is working, and then the tools, and then you move down this aisle like you would in a grocery store. Now you're going to go to checkout.
Yeah.
And it was just so condensed. He needed that. He needed more room.
Well, you need more people to run the credit cards too.
Yes.
The last thing about that is I saw that a lot of tool manufacturers were carrying the same tools. Okay, so, you know, the small, especially some of the smaller ones, were carrying this and this and that. It kind of dilutes the sale, because every, you know, now there, again, that's not the exclusive, right? It's not exclusive anymore. You can get it at this booth or that booth and that booth. So it makes look everybody's like they're not selling as much, because everyone's carrying everyone's tool, right? So that was my last kind of awareness when I saw. See, this year I got to actually experience, walk around with my eyes open, you know, somewhat relaxed, you know, and walk and get, look at my point of view, look at an attendee point of view. And that's what I saw. Okay. That's exactly my intention was this year, is to really look at things. I didn't want to be busy filming everything. I did that, done that. And now I want to have the experience of checking it out. So, Don, let's get to the fun part. Tools.
Yep.
You bought some tools. I bought some tools. What tools did you buy? I can't go down every list of what I bought, but I'm going to highlight what I got and what I expected. So let's start with you. What did you buy?
So I got, you know, when I heard that the 7 hand tools from Stanliner weren't going to be offered again, of course, I had to buy all seven of those, and I bought 4 other bigger, larger ones. But I had to stock up on those, of course.
You're a tool whore, dude.
I am. It's terrible. I'm going to steal your line, yeah, because it is your line all day long. I'm going to actually put it in parentheses. Mike said this one time on a podcast, and I love it. I got a problem. It's more about videos. I got a problem with tools. So, you know, not to steal your line, but I do, and I like them. And I used 2 of them today, and I don't know that I could have done it without it. I had a Lincoln backdoor, and I couldn't get to it with anything. It was all completely closed in underneath the new MXC version. They are going to be a nightmare for us dent guys. You cannot get underneath the door handle on the back door to save your tushy. And this Stanliner tool was the one that was bent so bizarre. It's kind of was about 8 inches long. It drops down about 3 inches to the right and then goes back up to the left about an inch. And it was the weirdest looking thing. It's the only thing I could get it on it. But that was a great tool. I got both dent stuffs, rods. I'd love to talk about David Schwimmer a little bit later just to talk about that. Those are amazing hail rods that are in the works. I had bought, I got some hog glue, I got some hog tabs. I, you know, like you say, Mike, we can't talk about it all, but that 7 tool that we both bought, I think that's an amazing product. I used to make something like similar to that.
What tool?
The spade from A1, the 7 tool.
Oh, the Lucky 7, that one?
The Lucky 7, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's an amazing tool.
I tried that tool today.
Did it work?
I'm not sure. Like, it works, but I'm not sure. And, I love A1 tools, but I'm not sure if that tool is going to hold up. So the shaft is great. Okay, it's not as flimsy as I thought it was going to be. I'm not sure about the head. I'm not sure if it's going to hold up under pressure, under real torquing pressure, because I was working with it on a aluminum panel, and I did start seeing just a little bit of a bend. Now, I'm not saying I'm not saying it's a crap tool. I'm not going to say that. I'm just not sure if it's going to hold. Here's my thing about those type of tools. So you're torquing on a dent. I don't care if it bends, because if it does its job, it's fine. But is it going to break? You know, why you're applying pressure on the tool and then you snap and you bust the paint. You know what I mean? That's what I don't want to happen. And I really hope they field tested those before they actually just put them out as the idea, because personally, I would make sure those suckers were forged. I wouldn't do that, cut the notch out on a regular whale tail hood. So I don't know. A1 Tools has great tools most of the 90% of the time. I just don't know about the Lucky 7. I will let you know. Everybody wants to know the final verdict. You know what I mean? So we have to be completely honest. Would I recommend it? And if I don't, what could they improve on? So, but the verdict is still yet to be seen, heard. Okay. So,
okay. Interesting.
Let's see here. I got the flat bar from CarePoint. Did you get that?
I didn't. I should have grabbed one though.
Yeah, I think a lot of people end up getting that, and that tool is friggin' a beast. Okay. I've got a cool little thing I'm gonna be doing, video on that thing, that because let me tell you something. That's an all-in-one flat bar. I mean, if you are looking for a flat bar, you pick that one up, okay? Because you can bend it. You have a tip on the end that you can screw on. You've got a titanium tip on the other end where you can screw anything else you want on there. It is beautifully made. It is stiff as a mofo. And it will throw down some metal for you. And plus, with the big bonus is if you already own an Anaconda, you can use the sled right in there. So now you can use it like on truck beds. It uses leverage on tires. You got it. You name it. You can do it. So I love that. So
I love good your insight, tech,
Dad.
Caused me.
I love your tech tip on that, Mike. Would you share that with them as far as what Vince had told you on how to get a flat bar in a door?
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
All right, so Vince told me, he said, you know, Mike, what you can do with these flat bars, if you want to get it down a door or a tight window, I always go through the front where the mirror is at, because you get the most opening there, and then put it through there first and then go slide it back towards, you know, the middle of the door, things like that. So it is a good tech tip. And Vince tried his today and he absolutely loves it. Now, Vince loves it, you know, because he was an ex-Dent Whiz guy. He has a flat bar. He knows what to compare it to, and he honestly thinks it's stiffer than the Dent Wizard tool. So he likes it. He likes it a lot. So so I think that's going to be a buy for sure. And I think that was one of the most under, like, nobody saw it, but then a lot of people did. You know what I mean? It's either,
they just didn't get it.
Yeah, they just,
because they don't know how it's probably going to.
If you picked it up, you're like, man, this is a heavy mofo, man. So,
you know, the only reason I didn't buy it is I'm not a flat bar guy, but I had it in my hand. I've got like 4 flat bars at the shop and I just don't use them. And I regret not getting that one, because I did like that kick at the end. Then I'll probably have to call Mark and get something done.
Yeah. Endeavor Tools, I've already had their tools. I'm waiting to actually get their hail bar sent to me. But their tools are always on point. Very, very nicely thought out. If you ever met Chad, he is a very focused guy, super nice guy. Just really innovating the new tool, the PDR industry, with new tools. So good stuff to him. Dent Stuff, you checked out that hail bar? Did you see that one?
I want to say something about David Schlemmer. He's a Minnesota boy. I met him in 2000, and he's always been an innovator, man. He came up with that thing about 2015, and I got, you know, got some prototype stuff from him, and he doesn't settle. That bar is amazing. He just kept going and going and going, and they're both on their way, and I talked to him today, and that is a pretty amazing thing. He moved away here in 2008-09. And Anson does carry that, guys, and so does Dent Tool Warehouse. And, of course, you can get it at his location at dentstuff.com. But Dave Schwimmer, he's just a really, really good guy. He got really smart with this tool, as Mike will know. He got involved with Todd, and he got involved with Drew's Tools, and these are interchangeable pieces for the three of them to collaborate together, and I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I did too. I thought that was really, really cool. So, so what else did? Well, I'm just going to go down the list real quick here. Hold on a second here. Let's see here. I'm not going to stop and talk to everything, because there's a video coming out tonight. I think I'm going to be releasing it tonight, and I go through all the tools I got at MTE and talk about it. So check that out. And then individually, I'll have a new series called PDR Tool Report, which I will do a very brief talk and the highlights of it and cool things about it, and just really give you something to check out. Okay, so that's coming. So Double D Leverage Bar, okay, that was pretty interesting. Awesome. When you don't have a like a pillar, when you open up the door and there's nothing to put your leverage bar on, well, it can clip to the seams underneath the rubber weather stripping. Really Quick Tools and Hammer. I thought they really did a good improvement on the hammer, so it's not magnetizing as you're blending. Standliner Tools, obviously, I picked up some of those. Lucky 7 Whale Tail and the Glexo Cold Glue. So those are some of the big items, like, I really, really like, want to test and try out. So
I thought you tested some of them.
I did. I kind of mentioned this Lucky 7, but that was on my list. So, but other than that, I mean, that's pretty much it, Don. I mean, I don't really have too much of that. It's kind of like a summary of MTE. Were there a lot of really cool new tools? No. Like, was there any game changers? I didn't see any. Like, I wouldn't say. I know that word should be used sparingly, but you know, the Power PDR box was a shizzo, I think, what, a year or two ago. But right now, is there a big tool that stood out besides Standliner stuff?
You know, I really love, and I use it all day today, Todd's Zimmerman's new Brockhill, the smaller version. I've always had the bigger one. Yeah, the mini one. I use that today. Yeah. I thought that was really nice. I thought that new hanger from Ultra was awesome. Just awesome. I got that. Did you see that little one? It's kind of got a, you put it inside, you like, if you if you're working on a hood or a trunk, what you do is you actually, I'm going to do a little video on what I bought too. I got it all spread out. I showed you that picture tonight, Mike.
Yeah.
I was supposed to get a video. I just didn't have a chance. I'm going to show that stuff, what I bought, and I'll show that tomorrow in a video. But it's just this little, it's the most ingenious thing I think Steve's come out with. It's so cool and so simple. Basically what you do is you pop out, you're pulling your headliner where the clips go in. It's kind of like an edgy tool idea, but what they do is you hook it right in there, and it's got this collar, and you tighten it right up to the hood, and it's got a circle, and you put your tool through there, and it's got the most, I don't know if I can explain this without showing you guys tomorrow, but come check it out, but it's ingenious.
Wow.
You can actually tighten it up where it's super tight, so it's like there's a ring right where you want it, anywhere you want, underneath the hood, and it has incredible leverage. It's just,
well,
wow.
I'm supposed to, you know? I'm gonna swing over there, I think Friday, because I was supposed to go there tomorrow, but I end up getting appointments like crazy, so I won't be able to go there, but I am definitely going to be checking that out. So,
what'd you think about Pitor's tip? I think that looks
the VIP
cool.
3.0.
Yes,
yeah, the sniper
the wider one.
And
yeah.
the half plenty. Like I said, I left a lot of tools out. I got a lot of stuff on the video.
Yeah,
there's a lot of cool small stuff. And obviously, we talked about the dent stuff. Carbon fiber. That's a telescoping a hail bar. And there's two versions, but
the
tools are fudge, man. They're nice, man. You know,
they're really nice now. This David Schwimmer, he is an innovator. He's coming out with another incredible thing that we can't talk about yet in a month. And he's got like 10 different tools in the works that he's coming out with.
Good
so
for him.
He's amazing.
Good for him.
An amazing guy. Good friend too.
All right, dude. We're going to cut this out. We're going way over. Don, I want to say thanks for coming on, sharing some of your thoughts and being my co-pilot tonight. Mary Toledo, just wanted to say thanks for coming on. She had some good input on there, woman. So.
Really?
Yeah. You are awesome, Mary.
Just kidding. Just for the record, you heard her go dad or daddy, whatever. We call each other mom and dad. So, because obviously we have three kids.
It's not like the dirty one dad.
Okay, we'll save that for later. All right, guys, we are out of here. Don, thanks again. I will talk to you later on.
Mary
Toledo, I'm sure we'll see you back on.
You're welcome.
All right. Mm-hmm.